behalf of my colleagues and myself, the privilege that has been ours of being here this past weekend to enjoy the rich ministry of God's Word and to enjoy the rich fellowship of God's people. And truly, this is only a foretaste of heaven. We thank you for the privilege. Shall we turn, please, to two scriptures tonight? The first in the book of Job in the Old Testament. Chapter 36, 3-6. I'm reading verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The second scripture in the New Testament, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And reading verse 51:5-1. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpets will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us these two readings from His precious Word. It's always a great honor and yet a great responsibility to preach the Gospel. We're so grateful that it is a message that is unique in its source. It's the Gospel of God. It's a message that is unique in its sweetness. It's the gospel of the grace of God. And it's a message that's unique in its standard. It's the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. The greatest preacher that ever lived was the Lord Jesus. And he majored in the gospel. He came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, to liberate the captive, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It was a subject that was precious and dear to the heart of that intellectual giant, Saul of Tarsus. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And it was so precious to him, he said, it's my gospel. So what a privilege tonight to open up the scriptures and to present to you a gospel message that we trust will reach all our hearts. I want to talk to you tonight about two things. The last chance and the last trump. A few weeks ago I was down in the Bahamas. A building contractor there invited my wife and I and my daughter and the grandchildren out on his yacht just to spend the day on his yacht. His yacht, the name of the boat, was the Last Chance. I sat on the stern of that boat and saw the sign on the boat, the Last Chance. And my mind went right to this verse in Job 36, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The last chance. There are four solemn things in this verse. First of all, there is a certainty. Secondly, the caution. And then, beloved, there's the calamity. And finally, the climax. The certainty. wrath. Oh, we love to preach John 3:16. We love to preach about the God who loves. And the whole Word of God is permeated with the love of God. But the same God that loves you and me can be angry because there is wrath. That's the certainty. And God appeals to you and me tonight, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. God was angry in the Garden of Eden because Adam and Eve sinned against God, and God was angry, and they were put out of the garden, and Adam forfeited his position. He was the Lord of the universe. He forfeited his place, the paradise, driven out, and he forfeited his peace. God was angry. You remember again that memorable occasion when God looked down from heaven and saw the imagination of men's hearts was only evil continually, and he was angry. He sent out his preacher of the gospel, Noah, preached for over 100 years, warning men and women of a wrath to come. God instructed Noah to build a ship, and finally says, this is it. This is it. He says to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And God sent the judgment by a flood, and all the people die, except those souls that were saved in the ark. God was angry. Another occasion, God was angry with those in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and his anger exploded. Mount Sinai, he saw Israel in idolatry, and his anger exploded. God can be angry. And one day he sent one angel, and one angel destroyed 185,000 men. One angel, 185,000 men. God. Angry. John the Baptist came out with his message, and he demanded repentance. Repentance. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he warned men to flee from the wrath to come. And in the book of the Revelation, we see God's wrath exploding upon those that have rejected, who will reject the Lord Jesus. And we read that the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and born men and free men, and they hide themselves in the dens of the rocks, and they cry to the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's the certainty, friend. There is wrath about to explode on this ungodly world. That's the certainty. Make no mistake about it. And here, secondly, there is the caution. Because there is wrath, beware. This is the caution. And it's always love that warns. God is constantly bringing out to men and women that he loves them and he wants to save them. Judgment is a strange work. God is a God of love, and so he sends out his messengers with a message of caution. Beware. It's love that warns. Throughout his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus, in love, was constantly warning men, women, boys and girls of a coming judgment. Beware. And time is running out for this poor old world in which we live. Thirdly, the calamity. Lest he take thee away with a stroke. The last chance. There was a man in the Bible, his name was Cain. Cain was raised in, if you will, a Christian home. Adam and Eve repented of their sin and God covered them with skins. Blood was shed and God accepted that sacrifice. And Adam and Eve instructed the two boys, Cain and Abel, in the right way of approach to God. Abel wisely listened to his parents. And he came God's way. And he brought a sacrifice of blood. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And the blood was shed. And Abel's lamb and Abel's sacrifice was accepted. But Cain wanted to do his thing. Oh, he was very religious. He brought an offering. But it was the fruit of his own accomplishment. And God was displeased with Cain's offering. But God is a God of love. God came after Cain. He says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. There's a sin offering lying at your door. Cain, please come my way. For God willeth not the dead of any. But he was filled with unbelief, Cain. He disbelieved that God would deal with him like his brother Abel. Unbelief. And his heart was filled with pride. And there's nothing more repugnant in the nostrils of a holy God and P-R-I-D-E, pride. His pride was affected because God accepted his brother's sacrifice and rejected his pride. And then he got angry with God. And he distrusted God. God says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He distrusted God. And he lied. And then he murdered his brother Abel. And God said, this is it. He went out a fugitive and a vagabond. It was his last chance. God. God again warns in love. And he sent angels down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham had been praying for those down in Sodom and Gomorrah because his nephew Lot was down in Sodom. And God sent angels to warn them of coming judgment. There is wrath. Beware. And Lot came to his sons and his sons-in-law who were married to his daughters and said, flee, because the angel had said, flee flee from the wrath to come. And they appear, the Lord appeared to them as one that mocked. They said, in essence, what foolishness. And the angels hastened Lot and his wife and the two girls out of Sodom. And those that mocked the angelic message, they perished. It was their last chance. God. Man in the Bible called Abner. Abner was responsible for the unpremeditated murder of a military leader, Asahel. And God had arranged 6 cities of refuge, 3 on either side of Jordan, where those who were responsible for unpremeditated murder could take refuge. And Abner was fleeing from his enemy, Joab. But Joab was a step ahead of him. And just as he was about to enter into the city of Hebron, a city of refuge, there's his enemy lurking in the gate of the city. Abner, your old friend Joab, your old friend Joab, come, let's have a little talk. And Abner went over to talk to Joab, and he took a spear and put it through his heart. And when they put the remains of Abner into the grave, the king lamented, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." You see, he was only one step away from the city of refuge. One step. And Abner was no fool because he was a commander-in-chief of the army, but he died as a fool. And how does a fool die? One step away from that city of refuge. Only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? It was his last chance. My colleague and I were invited by a Christian lady to visit her husband in a hospital dying with cancer. We went to visit. We said we'd come to open the scriptures and to read with him and to pray. He says, I'm not interested. We said, well, we want to read and to pray. We hope you don't mind. But he was not happy with us reading the scriptures. We decided to go back the next day. He said, I told you yesterday I am not interested. I'm getting out of here and I'm going to live it up. My colleague says, we have to be honest and faithful with you. You're going nowhere. The very cloud of death is hanging over you. It's love that warns. He was infuriated. And he said, clear out. We say, we're not clearing out until we read in prayer. 6 hours later, he died. It was his last chance. And we'll never forget, we had the responsibility of taking his funeral. What agony that was. The friends left the coffin and the widow put her arms round him and she wailed, calling him by name. It's too late now. It's too late now. It was his last chance. God says, today, if you will hear my voice, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. My friend, this could be your last chance to accept the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior and be saved for time and for eternity. There were two men crucified with the Lord Jesus, one on either side. Robbers, murderers, crucified with a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. One said to the Lord as they hung upon the cross, "If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us." The other said, "Dost thou not fear God?" Now the scripture says they both blasphemed the Lord Jesus. They both railed on his name. But he said to his friend, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing we are in the same condemnation? We indeed justly," in other words, we are getting what we deserve, "but this man has done nothing amiss." And he turned to the only man who could reach him in all his need. He was about to die. It was his last chance. He says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." The moment he says, "Lord," his eternal destiny was changed from hell to heaven. "Lord," because the scripture says, "If thou shalt confess with thy name Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And the moment he says, "Lord," his every sin, transgression, was forgiven and forgotten. "Thy sins and thy iniquities I will remember no more," said the Son of God. It was the last chance for both of these men. And that robber came to the Redeemer and became the child of a king. It was the last chance for both. One settled for heaven and the other was content to go down to hell. Because the scripture says, and it was about the sixth hour. And that's when the Lord Jesus went into the darkness to fight the evil one and secure the victory over sin, death and hell. He just got in time. It was his last chance. Some years ago I was in Manawar Key in the Bahamas. I was asked to go over to officiate at a funeral. A man I'd never met. The stormy day, they buried the deceased the same day down there. No embalming system. Went through mountainous seas to a small island called Guanaqui. I officiated at the funeral of this man of God. And just as I finished, a tall, distinguished gentleman rose. And he came to the podium. He says, "God is speaking once more to this island and death. And remember my boy." And he broke down in tears. I spoke to him afterwards, put my arms around him. I said, "Friend, what was the problem?" He says, "My boy was given to alcohol. And I appealed to my boy to give it up." He says, "Cedric, why don't you give this up and put your trust in the Lord Jesus? He's willing to save you and change your life." He says, "Dad, you look after the church, and I'll look after the alcohol." The father's heart was broken. They have the coffins in the buildings because they bury the same day the deceased. And in mockery, he put his hand in one coffin. He says, "Dad, put my name on that one." and put a shelf in it for my alcohol. He took off with two friends in his boat, and his boat, the name on the boat was Drunk Again. Went on to Marsh Harbor and went from bar room to bar room. Finally, they were about to head back for Guanaquil, and the bartender said, "Cedric, you're not fit to drive that boat." He says, "Forget it. I'll see you in hell." Raised in a Christian home, he took off in the boat, steering an erratic course. In passing Scotland Quay, they hit a rock. That boy's neck was broken. They managed to limp back into Marsh Harbor. There's no coffin available in Marsh Harbor. They wrapped him in canvas, called his dad by CB. A dear old man of God came to Marsh Harbor, opened up the canvas, and he wailed, "My boy's in hell. My boy's in hell." It was his last chance. One day, a farmer was looking at his resources, saw the golden harvest and the old squeaky barns. He says, "I'll pull down these barns and build new. And I will say to my soul, there is much goods laid up for many years. Have a good time. Eat, drink, and be merry." God says, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." It was his last chance. God. That's the calamity, beloved, as found in the Word of God. This might be your last chance to respond to the overtures of love, to the appeal of the Word of God, and the challenge by the Spirit of God. This might be your last chance. We always think that the tragedy comes to someone else and won't happen to us. That is absolute foolishness. You well know the dangers on the highways, sickness, and what have you. You could be terminated in this life tonight. And that's why the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. What a calamity to be so near the kingdom, only a step to Jesus where you are. He's not looking for any demonstration, emotion. All he wants is a genuine commitment. Just where you're sitting right now. And say, "Lord, I am a sinner. I deserve eternal judgment. But you have made provision. And accept your Son as my personal Savior." And you can go out that door the happiest person in the neighborhood. But oh, to abandon the offer and the opportunity, your last chance. And then the fourth great thing is the climax. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. In the book of Zephaniah, we read those words in chapter 1, verse 18. "Neither the silver nor the gold shall be able to deliver thee in the day of the Lord's wrath. Money cannot buy salvation in time or in the light of eternity. I was down in New Jersey, and a lady said to me that her brother-in-law had just sold his ice cream franchise for $80 million. I said, "Why don't you invite him out to the meeting tonight?" She says, "He's not interested, period, in spiritual things." A week later, I saw the obituary column, and there was his name. 1 week, and he left his $80 million behind. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? My friend, this could be your last chance. Why not avail yourself of it tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ is here. We cannot see him, but he is here. Where there is two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He is here. You can only visualize him here. His outstretched arm. And he's saying to you tonight, come. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants to save you. He died on the cross that might be a reality. And if you would only put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, the joy of your heart would know no bounds. The man from Ethiopia going down the Gaza Strip, reading in the scriptures about the Lord Jesus being cut off in death. He says, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And the evangelist said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." He says, "I believe." And he was very religious, but he never found what he was looking for in the religious system of Judaism. He had come 1,500 miles from Central Africa to Jerusalem, the scripture says, for to worship. And some people can't cross the streets of Chicago or Worcester, Massachusetts to come to a building such as this. He came 1,500 miles to worship, but he never found what he was looking for in that religious system. Oh, he saw the priests in the long flowing garments. He saw the sheep going in for the morning and evening oblation through the sheep gate. He saw the ritual and all the ceremony. And he's going back home discouraged, dissatisfied, despondent. But the seeking sinner will always find the seeking God. And the seeking God will always find the seeking sinner. So God put the wheels in motion. He said, he sent an angel to the evangelist. Get out of the city and go down to the desert. Philip the evangelist goes down to the desert, and along comes the chariot carrying this man from Ethiopia, very authoritative, a rich man, charge of all the treasure of Queen Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, very influential. And the Spirit of God says, "Here he comes." And he had to be the first hitchhiking evangelist. Join that chariot. And there he's reading from God's word how to be saved. And the evangelist helped him, and we can help you tonight if you're interested. It's not our business to force anything, but we just want to see you saved and know it on the authority of God's word. Pointed the man to the Lord Jesus, beginning at the same scripture he preached unto him, Jesus. And he was baptized. And the scripture says he went on his way rejoicing. He never found what he was looking for in religion, but he found it in Jesus. Jesus alone can save. Not a religious leader. Jesus alone can save. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Oh friend, this could be your last chance tonight. Avail yourself of it. And to close, we read about the last trump. The last trump. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all be changed. All sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In the Roman army, there were three sounds common to a soldier. The first trumpet sound, he was awakened from sleep. The second trumpet sound, he got into marching formation. And the last trump, they were on their way. Oh, we thank God for everyone who has heard the trumpet blow. The trumpet of warning to awaken the sinner out of his deep sleep. And we thank God for everyone here tonight that has heard the first trumpet, who have passed from death unto life, who have been awakened. And happy those who have heard the second trumpet sound and got into marching formation with God's people. And I tell you, friend, from experience, there's nothing to be compared with God's people. We could write books. Say with the psalmist as to the saints which are in the earth, the excellent, in whom is all my delight, the Lord's people, into marching formation. Very soon there'll be the last trump, maybe tonight. Because the man who died upon the cross and rose from the dead says, if I go, I will come again. And Jesus is coming again. And it strikes me as we look around that his patience is running out. Because the Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was, so shall it be. God's patience ran out in Sodom, as he visited. God's patience ran out in the days of Noah. God's visited. And I believe that God's patience is running out. Maybe tonight. The trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What an exodus that will be. And friend, if you're not saved, you will be left behind, because you're not in the family of God, and you'll be left behind for the judgment. It'll be an awful thing to be left behind. My colleague and I had meetings in Rochester, New York, and he was staying with an elderly couple, and I was staying with my mother and my sister. My mother was living then. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, my colleague was out jogging in those days. And at 6 in the morning, his host knocked on the door. Brother Boyd, the breakfast is ready. No answer. He knocked again. Brother Boyd, breakfast is ready. No answer. He went into the room. My colleague's always been very orderly. There was his suit hanging in the closet. His shoes, dress shoes, under the bed. his Bible lying there. He was out with his jogging suit. This dear friend said to his wife, Nellie, the Lord's come, and we've missed it. That's how they felt. They got on the phone and called my mother. And it wasn't sufficient that my godly mother answered. They said, is Neil there? That was reality. And that will be the experience of many. So listen to the gospel, rejected God's salvation, and have missed it. That's what brought me to Christ as a boy back in Scotland. Came home from school one day. I hollered, Mom, I'm home. No answer. Fear began to grip my soul. Went into the bedroom, no mother. And the fear intensified. Finally into the sitting room. And there she was on her knees praying for this rebel. Just a boy. And that brought me to the Savior that Lord's Day. Oh, turn where the Savior in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbor light. For how do you know that your soul may be drifting over the dead line tonight? Friend, be kind to your soul and avail yourselves of this might be your last chance and come to the Savior. There are many in this building who have the ability to help you. Again, we're not forcing you into anything that's not our business. We just want to see you saved and to know it, and may be prepared to go at the sound of the last trump. We can help you. If you've got a question, you talk to us about it. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank thee once again for the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. We thank thee for the message that was sent down from heaven. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus of Christ, our Father, who brought that gospel message to suffering and needy humanity. And Lord, we thank thee the message is still the same. We pray again that tonight there might be those with us who are still without Christ, that they will respond. It might be the last chance to put their trust in the Savior. So, Father, we cry to thee on their behalf that they will not leave the building until they make it right with thyself. We ask these things, giving thee thanks in anticipation of blessing and salvation. In his precious name, amen.